Tora Lamed Hey. Rabbein Ezal says, Lemde Tora, Roi Lohem Leida Asidois. People that are zeiche to learn Torah, it's appropriate for them to be able to know the future. This is what Dovid HaMelech says, writes in Tehillim. There's a pasuk that says, Kedem Yodati Me'edoisecha. Before I knew about Hashem's Torah. That's the wording in the pasuk. Kedem Yodati Me'edoisecha. Rabbein Ezal gives a slight modification of the pshat, putting the commas in different places. Rabbein Ezal says, the pasuk says over there, Kedem Yodati, before it actually happens, Sha'umehechon, how? The Torah is called Edois. Moho Edois v'hachukim hoel alochem. Edois is one of the nicknames of the Torah. So that Rabbein Ezal writes in this Torah in the Likutei Moran, that a person who learns Torah properly, there's no question at all that one of the types of knowledge that the Torah gives a person is to be able to see ahead. As the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Ezehu Chacham Haroya Es Hanoilad. A Chacham is one who's able to see now. He is Roya. Roya means present tense. Es Hanoilad. Noilad means that which is going to take place. That's one of the definitions of the word Chacham. And as the Gemara tells us, Chacham Odif Minovi. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara which is considered to be superior. A Chacham, a Talmud Chacham, or a Novi, a prophet. If the Gemara tells us that a Chacham is superior, then it means he must have at least what the Novi has, plus more. The answer is that it's true, that this power of prophecy is something that any person who learns Torah properly, the Torah itself will show him what's up ahead. It'll show him, it'll give him a direction, it'll shine a beam of light in front of him, just as a person who's in the dark, you're driving through the country and it's thick darkness, and you can only see 2 inches in front of you, and it's only if you have a beam of light that you're able to see way up ahead. So too within the scope of space, area, so too within time frames, the Torah has a power to be able to allow a person, to be able to afford a person the opportunity to be able to see what's up ahead. This is one of the gifts, one of the blessings, one of the brachas that a person gets through Limud HaTorah, through the study of Torah, if he learns it the right way. Baruch Hashem.
What could be the practical application for a person to, let's say, to get this knowledge? How would he be able to apply it?
How would he be able to apply knowing what's going to take place in the future? The answer is because the majority of all the mistakes that people make in life is because they're thinking only of this minute. They're thinking only of Chayei Olam, of Chayei Shoah. They're not thinking of Chayei Olam. They're only thinking they're about to eat something, or they're about to look at something, or do something, and they only see in front of them what's gonna come out of this minute. Whereas if the person would be able to see how this item is gonna lead him in a certain direction, how Avera Goyreres Avera, how the Gemara says that when the Satan approaches a person, he doesn't approach him first with a big item. He starts with something small. Hayoim Omer Lo Yaseh Kach, Ulamochra Aseh Kach, Ulamochra Aseh Kach. So that if the person would be able to look ahead, if a person would be able to see, if I do this, if I move into this house, or if I do this and this thing, such and such is going to come out of it, then I know already how to deal. I know what to do now. I know what decision to make. The whole concept of indecision is from lack of knowing what's up ahead. And here Rabbein Ezal is pointing out that the Torah HaKdosha, you want to know what's up ahead, what do you do? Buy a set of binoculars? But what do you do? Buy a telescope? The answer is no. Study Torah the right way, and the Torah itself will give you this power of being able to see not just what's in front of you, but to be able to see even that which isn't in front of you, that which is too far in front of you for a normal person to be able to see. The Torah will give you the power to be able to see up ahead, and therefore to be able to judge properly.
It's maybe
Moshe Rabbeinu, exactly. That's in a sense where the Gemara makes a distinction between different Nevi'im, that you had certain prophets who were zeichet to aspaklaria she'ena me'ira, where they got to see Hashem, but not with real clarity. not that clear. When they would prophesize, they would say, Koy Omar Hashem, like this Hashem said. Whereas by Moshe Rabbeinu was able to say, Zeh Hadovor Asher Tziv Hashem, this is what Hashem commanded. What's this is? It's as if he saw it right in front of him. He was able to see the prophecy, the Nevuah, that which was up ahead, he was able to see it right in front of him in total clarity. Baruch Hashem. Torah Lamed Vov, chapter 36. We're in our Likutei Morans. It's page 56, the right-hand column towards the bottom of the page. Rabbein Ezal says, Tekef shenase sefer min hatoyrois hagevoyhois v'hanifloois ma'oid ma'oid. Immediately, when there is formed a sefer, a compilation in writing of very, very high, wondrous level of Torah, such as, for example, the Zohar HaKadosh, the Kisvei Arizal, the Gemara, Rabbein Ezal Sforim, the Sforim of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, all of these very, very high and holy exalted Sforim, Me'achar Shenasa Mehem Sefer, once they were put into a book, once they were put into a presentable form, where now this thing could be spread to hundreds of people or thousands of people, and now it could be looked at and reviewed again, it's never going to be forgotten. And this is an incredible achievement, where a person is able to take the Hasagos in Torah of a tzaddik, which at first started out being in his mind, in the mind of a tzaddik, then the tzaddik was able to bring it forth through his mouth and communicate it to people, and then people, his students were able to take that verbal communication and put it into paper, commit it to writing in the form of a sefer, which is capable of being passed on from generation to generation. Rabbein Ezal says, "Me'achar shenasa mehem sefer." Once it was made into a sefer, yesh aleihem chipuyim v'hastorois. There is placed upon them coverings, things to hide them. Shenechpo v'nistar oirom hatzach v'hanifla. The bright, pure light that would emanate from this sefer is hidden. Hashem puts a cover over it to hide the incredible, brilliant light that could be coming out of it. Rabbein Ezal says, v'hadapin shel kricho heim mechapin. The actual binding of the sefer, the dapim, the pages that are used in kricha, in binding the sefer, they symbolize this chipui, this covering on the light. Meaning that Rabbein Ezal says that you should know that whenever a tzaddik brings new Torah into the world, if this Torah were available in its purest form, if the light were obvious to all, then there wouldn't be any free choice anymore. There wouldn't be anything that the Satan could do to conduct business in this world. If the light, the incredible high bright light of these tzaddikim, was available, it was unmasked completely, it was taken completely out of its shell, out of its covering, and presented in the raw, in a sense, that item, then there wouldn't be any more Bechira. And therefore, in order for there to be free choice, when something of this brightness, of this clarity, of this greatness is presented into the world, there has to be a covering on it. It has to be kept hidden to an extent in order to allow for free choice. So that now a person wanting to get to read that which is an incredible sefer, he doesn't get to see it immediately. There has to be an Esarusa de Lasata. There's one move that a person has to make in order to be able to get to see what's in the sefer. What's the move? The first thing he has to do is open it. He's got to open the binding to be able to see what's inside. And that's what eliminates 99% of the people. If the light of these Sforim were available without a binding, if there were no binding, if there were no concept of a covering on it at all, it would be available to all. And in order for there to be free choice, whenever there is a bright light, whenever there is a great tzaddik, the tzaddik has to be kept hidden. Hashem has to put a screen, a smoke screen over him, so that a person wanting to get close to the tzaddik or to the teachings of the tzaddik has to be able to show enough sincerity, enough oomph, to be able to break through that screen. Just as when it comes to Hashem himself, the pasuk says, "Umoshe nigash el ha'arofel asher shom ho'elokim." that when Hashem revealed himself to the Jews on Mount Sinai, first there was a dark cloud, kaviyachol, that was hiding Hashem. And the Torah testifies, U'meshe nigash el ha'arafel, all the other Jews weren't brave enough, weren't courageous enough. They didn't have the azus, the strength, the power to be able to enter into this dark cloud, this arafel, asher shom ho'elekim, in which was secluded the kavod of Hashem, implying that the kavod of Hashem wasn't obvious to all. It was hidden. It was secluded inside of this dark cloud. And it was only the person who was willing to enter into the dark cloud, to break through, to open it up, that's the one who was zeicher to get to see it. We once mentioned that this word, ha'arofel, is exactly bigematria shechina, showing that this is where the light of the shechina is to be found. It's to be found in a covering, in a case. That's the derech eretz for the light, is that it should be covered, secluded, hidden, so that only those that are really worthy of it, only those who prove themselves to be worthy, those are the ones who get to it. It's not that you get to it immediately, directly. It's made a little bit inaccessible, where you have to show some degree of initiative to break through a barrier. What's your barrier in dealing with a sefer? The binding. A willingness to crack open the binding. That alone, once you've made that move, you've shown an esarusa de lasata, an action from below that gets Hashem to be willing to share this great light with the person, the light that's found within that sefer. Baruch Hashem.
Is there any corresponding or similar statement that you mentioned in the past about the introduction of the sefer being anything like that?
No, not that I know of. Specifically the binding, that's what's brought, the dape hakricha. This is why you'll notice Sefer Torah. Why do we keep a cover on the Sefer Torah? What's the reason? If this is light, and if this is something which the Torah itself tells us, Oisiyos Machkimos, that the letters of the Torah give off wisdom, it would seem logical that the Torah should be kept open in the ark, so that the minute you open the ark, it's visible. The answer is no, that the light of the Torah must have this cover on it, so that it takes an initiative, a move. You have to first be willing to remove the cover to be able to get to see that light.
Why isn't it, let's say, Torah Lama talks about safe?
Right.
And then the Torah Lama base again.
Right.
How come he didn't put it like in everything that deals with safe?
These were different shiurim. Each Torah he put him on was a different shiur. It was either a whole shiur that was given in shul, like on a Shabbos or a Yom Tov or a time of gathering, or it's a sicha that was said while they were traveling or something like that. So each item that Rabbi Nezal said at a different time, at an independent time...
So it wasn't written in order of...
No.
In other words, if it had anything to do with the one before... Or...
Exactly. In other words, it wasn't written in the sequence of the time when it was said. Definitely not.
So this would have fit perfect, the Torah... After Torah Lam.
Exactly. Although...
Exactly.
Although, the sequence that these Torahs appear in the Likutim on, there's definitely a reason why this Torah is before this one and after this one. This is something that Rav Nosson Zal put together. Rav Nosson Zal, who was the main Talmud of Rabbeinu Zal, and he did it with the guidance of Rabbeinu Zal. There's no question at all that there is a connection from one Torah to the other Torah. One of the Meforshim in the back here, the Parparois Lechachma, Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal, when it comes to Torah Yud Dalet, in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph, I believe, he says, now that we learned the first 14 Torahs in this Sefer, let me show you how each one is an introduction to the one before it. And he shows you a sampling of why Bedaf gets presented in this sequence, so that there definitely is a significance to the order that it's being presented. If we don't see it right away, in other words, let's say at first glance it looks to you that this should have been over there, you should know there definitely are reasons exactly why it's before this and after that.
Because it comes in with Nagina.
Yeah,
and
I understand.
This looks like a fit.
100%, I hear you, but I'm telling you that there definitely is a reason why it's like this. Baruch Hashem. Next. Now we begin Torah Lamed Zayin, chapter 37. Rabbeinu Zal bases this Torah on a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Yud Zayin, where David HaMelech says, Mimsim Yodcha, Hashem, I would like to be from those people who die at your hands, at the hands of Hashem, not chas v'shalom from those people who die in an accident in the street or other situations where it looks, not to say that that's not the hand of Hashem, but it appears as if they died through a human being or through their own fault. Chas v'shalom, a person does something to themselves that brings death upon themselves. Mimsin miyadcha. David HaMelech says to Hashem, I would like to be from those who dies, chas v'shalom, in bed at a ripe old age. Mimsin micheled. I would like to die micheled, from old age. Cheled means from having lived a full life in this world. This is what David HaMelech writes in this pasuk in Tehillim. And he ends off with the words, Ani b'tzedek ech zeponecha. I, with righteousness, will come to gaze upon the face of Hashem, will come to look at the face of Hashem. Rabbi Nizal explains, Haklal, the general rule is, She'ikar hatachlis hurak lavoid v'leilich bedarkei Hashem lishmo yisborach. The main thing for a Yid in this world, for a Jew in this world, is to serve Hashem and to go on the path of Hashem for the sake of Hashem, kidei lizkois lahakir ois yisborach, to be zeichet, to be worthy of coming to recognize Hashem, v'lodas ois yisborach, and to get to know Hashem. Shezehu ikor hatachlis. This is the main goal of a Jew in this world. It's to come to recognize Hashem, to come to understand Hashem, and to get to go on the path of Hashem for the sake of Hashem. Vezehu ritzayna yisborach. This is the desire of Hashem. This is the will of Hashem. She'anachnu nakir oisa yisborach. That we should come to recognize Hashem. This is what Hashem wants of us. Hashem wants us to come to recognize Hashem. Ve'ein roi lo'odom she'i eloi kavona acheres pavidosi yisborach. Rabbi Nizal says it's improper for a person to have any other motive, any different motive in serving Hashem, other than ki'im, other than lemalois ritzayno yisborach, other than simply wanting to fulfill the wish of Hashem, the desire of Hashem. She'omar, that Hashem said, do this. Simple Simon said, do this, v'naaser et Sinai, and the will of Hashem was fulfilled. This is the main motive that a Jew is supposed to have in his mind in everything that he's doing pertaining to Avodas Hashem. Rabbi Nizal explains now, ki yeshmi she'oved kol yomov. There are people who work their whole lives, v'roideif achar tavas tavois olam hazeh, and they chase after the physical desires of this world, kidei lemalois bitnoyu kreisei b'tavois olam hazeh. And the person's purpose is, his motive is, his goal is, to fill his belly with all the things that this physical world is capable of giving to him, whether it be food, women, sleep, all bodily pleasures that the person could possibly gobble up. There's another Yid who's going about all his business in this world, doing mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, and what's his purpose? To be zeicha to olam haba. His purpose is to be able to get a reward. His reason for doing mitzvahs is that Hashem should give him something back, the schar of olam haba. V'gam zehu nikra miloi beten. That's also called a concept of filling your belly. She'roitze lemalais bitnoi v'tavosoi im olam haba. This person wants to fill his belly and his desire with olam haba. True, he doesn't want olam hazeh, he doesn't want the physical world, he wants the spiritual world, but it's still, he's looking to fill his own belly. V'zehu b'chinas. This is what's represented in this pasuk. First, the pasuk says, Mimsim yodcha Hashem, Mimsim micheled chelkom, Mimsim micheled. The next words in the pasuk are, chelkom b'chayim, utzefuncho tamale bitnam. Those people who have lived a full life, they are chelkom b'chayim, their lot will be among those who have eternal life, utzefuncha, and that which you, Hashem, have hidden in your treasury, tamale bitnam, they will be zech in the future world to fill their bellies with the tzofun, with the hidden reward that Hashem has reserved for the tzaddikim. Rabbi Nazal explains now, v'zehu b'chinas chelkom b'chayim u'tzofun cho tamale bitnam. Rabbi Nazal is going to explain this pasuk. Chelkom b'chayim u'tzefuncho. What does that mean? Hainu, this means hein oison sheboicharin chelkom b'chayim. Both category number one, which is those people who pick their lot is while they're physically alive. Chelkom, their lot, their portion is b'chayim, when they're physically alive. Dahainu lemalos ta'avosam b'chayim chiyusam b'olam hazeh. This is a person who's looking for satisfaction, he's looking for satiation in this world while he's physically alive. V'hein oisan sheboicharin b'rav tuv hatzofun. And also the second category of people who choose the hidden lot, the hidden portion that Hashem has reserved for tzaddikim, dahainu olam haba, which is the future world. V'zehu utzefuncha. This is what Rabbeinu Zal nicknames utzefuncha, meaning sheboicharin betuv hatzofun, those people who have chosen the good that's reserved, it's hidden, it's not being served now, it's going to be served in the future. Dahainu olam haba, referring to olam haba. Ushnehem bechinas milui beten, heim bechinas milui beten kanal. Both of them are referred to as a concept of filling your belly. Note, chelkom b'chayim, number one, utzefuncha, number two, tamale bitnam. Both of them are considered to be a concept of milui beten. Both those who choose their portion b'chayim while they're physically alive, and both those, and the second category, those who are waiting for that which is tzofun, that which is reserved for the future, both are classified as a concept of tamale bitnam, a concept of a person who's looking to fill his belly. V'zehu, this is why the pasuk says, chelkom b'chayim utzefuncha, tamale bitnam. Rabbi Nazal explains, she'elu beiz hakitois, these two classes, these two groups, hein habaychrin b'olam hazeh, both the group of people who choose this world, this physical world, v'hein ho'evdin b'shvil olam haba, and also those who work for the sake of olam haba, for the sake of the future world, shehein bechinas chelkom b'chayim, number one, utzefun chokanal, number two, shnehem hein bechinas tamale bitnam. Both of them are a concept of milui beten. Sheroitzim lamalis bitnam v'tavaisam zeh b'olam hazeh v'zeh b'olam haba. Each one is looking to fill his belly. One is looking to do it in this physical world, and the other one is looking to do it in the future world. Rak, what's the difference? Shezeh haboicher b'olam haba hu chocham yoser. The one who chooses the future world is a little bit smarter, he's a little bit more intelligent. Sheboicher ba'olam oimed hakayom v'hanitzchi, he chooses that world which is everlasting, eternal, umema'es olam hazeh shehu oiver v'chola, and he rejects, he despises this physical world, which is something that's very fleeting, it's very passing, it's something that's temporary. V'gam be'emes, and Rabbi Nazal says, in truth, bevadai toiv yoser harbe lavoid Hashem afiluim oyved b'shvil olam haba. Certainly, it's considered very, very good for a person to be serving Hashem, even if he has this motive of olam haba in mind, even if he has reward in mind. Ach afal pikein, but still, nonetheless, gam ze nikra bechinas milui beten. This is also classified as a person who's looking to fill his belly. He's a glutton. So in other words, there's a slightly derogatory term that's applied to this type of avodas Hashem, this type of serving Hashem. V'zehu, this is what the pasuk continues to say, yisbu'u bonim, shehasviyo shelohem hu bonim. Their satisfaction, their satiation is children. Kederech ha'olam, like as is human nature, shekol avodosom hu kedei lahashir yerusha levonov. You get a person who's working and working, when he's 30, when he's 40, when he's 50, when he's 60, he's working, working. What is he working for? Some of these people have amassed more money than they could possibly use up in their life. He's no longer working for himself anymore. Now he's working for his children. He's earned enough to sustain himself past 120. So there's no way that he's thinking now that he's working for himself anymore. He's working now for the next generation. Ube'emes, Rabbi Nezal says, in truth, mi she'enoi ish kodosh, a person who's not a holy person, v'roidev achar taivois, a person who chases after physical desires, u'meiniach memoinoi levonov, and he leaves over money to his children, hu kemoi shemalachlech atzmoi betinuf, it's like a person who muddies himself up, he gets himself all dirty, v'loikeach tinuf u'mechas ala tinuf, and he takes a second set of mud, second pile of mud, and plops it on the first layer of mud that he has all over him. Rabbi Nezal explains, ki be'emes, in truth, mamoin dikdusha hu gevoya ma'oid. Money that has holiness to it is something that's very, very great. V'yeshboi kamo bechinois gevoyois ukedoishois elyoinois ma'oid. And it has associated with it, attached to it, certain very, very, very high levels of kedusha. Kimavur b'mokom achar, as is explained in another chapter on Likutei Moran, where Rabbi Nezal discusses in the first half of Likutei Moran, chapter 68 and 69, Rabbi Nezal goes into incredible depth explaining the greatness of money and where it comes from in heaven. Rabbi Nezal proves from Psukim how money comes from the same location in heaven where the neshama comes from, so that money has incredible high levels of kedusha associated with it. Aval hamamoin shel taivos seilam hazeh hum maisrois, but money that's associated with physical desires, money that's associated with ice cream, with stuff like with maisrois, things that aren't the barest necessities, things that are considered to be maisrois, luxuries, non-necessities. Shenishar min ha'odom maisrois achar shemilei tavos seilam hazeh, there remains from the person waste matter. After a person has filled his belly with physical food, we know that there is a residue of waste matter that comes from this. The hamaisrois achar kol ta'avoisov hu hamomoin shenishar achrov. Rabbi Nezal says the waste matter of a person is one of the forms of the waste matter of a person is the money that he leaves behind after him. Meaning, if a person used money in this world, he didn't use it for kedusha. He used it for physical desires. He used it for silliness. Then that money itself was classified as being used for waste. That was waste number one. Now, once this person is about to depart from this world, to leave, to exit, and there's money left over, that money that's left over is called waste of waste. It's a second level of waste now. Meaning, because of the fact that even the money that he was using for himself in this world, he wasn't using it thriftily, he wasn't using it frugally, careful, being very selective in what he spends it for, to spend it on things where there isn't maisrois, there isn't a waste, there's no concept of waste attached to it. So therefore, even the money that he was using himself was classified as a bechina of a maisrois, as leftovers, waste. In other words, leftovers is a nickname for waste, or waste is a nickname for leftovers, something that goes to waste. Now, when this person that was using this waste, this leftovers, and he leaves that over, he leaves some of that over, that's considered a second lichluch, a second set of mud. So Rabbi Nezal says, then what happens is, gam habonim she'enom noilotem migdusha, now this person's children, which were not born in holiness, which weren't born in purity, which weren't born by a person who is living properly, heim gamkein maisrois mamish. His children are classified as waste because they weren't produced in holiness, they weren't produced with the right motives, with the right intent and everything. His children themselves are classified as a bechina of maisrois. Ki heim boim mi maisrois v'sirchoin v'achiras hamayach sheyotzei l'chutz. These children were born from the waste and spoilage of this person's brain, which he allowed to go outside its proper boundaries. Kavyochol Hashem has declared boundaries for each and every single Jew's mind, what he is allowed to think about, what he's not allowed to think about, and therefore a person who conducts himself in an improper way, where he allows his mind to leave those proper boundaries, to enter into wasteland, to think the wrong kind of thoughts, which is called this wasteland, now any children that are born from such a person, where these children originate from a droplet, and this droplet originates from the brain, and this brain was involved in maisrais, was involved in that which is outside the proper perimeter, then automatically those children are also classified to a degree as a concept of maisrais, as a concept of waste. And we know that children are born from this, from the brain. The Gemara says in Pirkei Avos that a person should remind himself of where he came from a sour, from a spoiled droplet, from a smelly droplet, so that we sirchein mamish. We see that the Gemara does attribute this term sirchein, spoilage, to this tipa, that there is a concept of a person creating children where it's a spoilage, it's considered a waste, chas v'shalom. Ubishvil ze nikroim habonim oilalim. This is why one of the names in the Torah that's used to refer to children, one of the words in the Torah that the Torah uses to refer to children is they're called Oilalim v'yaynkim. Rabbi Nizal says Oilalim loshen tinuth. The word Oilel also means a concept of waste. Ki Oilel pirish Rashi. Rashi Kodeshim Brachas Tavches says that the word Oilel also takes on a meaning of tinuth v'lichluch, something that's muddy, that's spoiled. A person who chas v'shalom leaves over children like that in the world after he passes away, who genai ubizoyin. This is a tremendous insult and a desecration to that person. Kihem bechinas maisrois v'tinuf. Those children are classified as a concept of waste matter, filth, that type of item, chas v'shalom. Al kein, therefore, who roitze lechasaisaisam uleyapoisaisam imamomoin. Therefore, what is this person looking to do? He created something that's smelly, that's filthy. He wants to hide the filth. He wants to cover it up. He wants to protect it. What does he want to use to protect it with? Dollar bills, money. He wants to cover it up with money. Shehu gamkein maisrois gomor shenishar achar kol ataivasanal. Because of the fact that this person lived such a life where his money was also a waste, it was also something that was used mostly for waste, now he's looking to take the money, his leftover money that's waste, and use that to cover up his children, which are also classified as a concept of waste. This is the inheritance that he's leaving over for these children after his passing. Nimtza. So what do we see from this? Shemechase betinuf altinuf. He's covering up mud with mud. He's covering up something filthy with something else filthy. By him passing on his inheritance, which was all maisrais, and he's passing it on to his children, who were not created from a pure thought, they were created from an impure thought, which is also classified as a concept of maisrais, a person thinking thoughts that are unnecessary, that are improper, outside the boundary. This is maisrais on top of maisrais. This is tinuf on top of tinuf. V'zehu, Rabbi Nizal says, this is what the pasuk says, yisbe'u bonim. He's still quoting this pasuk in Tehillim, mimsim yodcha, mimsim michelet chelkom, utzfuncho tamali, chelkom b'chayim, utzfuncho tamali bitnam, esbe'o, yisbe'u bonim. Yisbe'u bonim. Those are the next words in the pasuk. Rabbi Nizal says, yisbe'u bonim, shehasviya shelahem hu bonim. The satiation of these people is their children, meaning shebishvilam heim mevalim yomehem. It's over their children that they waste their lives. Now, as they finished earning all the money they need, now they continue to waste their years trying to save up money to provide for their children. Vehinichu yisram la'ilalehem. The pasuk continues to say they have left over their remains have been left over for their oilaleihem, for their children. Shemechasim b'moisrois al ha'oilalim. They cover up with waste matter their children. Shehem gamkein b'chinas moisrois kanal. These children which were produced in this improper manner, they're also called a concept of waste, moisrois. Hainu hayerusha sheminichim levonim. The inheritance that these parents leave for their children. Shebishvil zem aval nyamem kanal. Over this, the parents spend their years, they spend a lot of time earning these bucks to be able to leave over for their children. But Dovra Melech said, Avol ani, I ain b'icher la'atzmi b'beis hakita sanal. Dovra Melech said about himself that he wasn't like either one of these two categories. He wasn't like the people who are chasing Olam Hazeh. He wasn't even like the people who are chasing Olam Haba. Kiim lizkois lachzois benoyam Hashem. Dovra Melech said, my only desire in this world was to get to see the greatness of Hashem. Meaning, v'zehu, this is why he said, ani b'tzedek echze ponecho. Shedovra Melech alav shalom omar, Dovra Melech said, shebochar loy rak lizkois b'tzidkus sheloy lachzois penei Hashem ulahaki raboy. That the only thing that he wanted to get out of his tzedek, out of his tzidkus, out of his good deeds was lachzayis benayam Hashem, to get to see Hashem, to get to understand Hashem. That was the only thing he wanted to achieve out of all of his deeds. The gam habonim, and even the children, shehu chofetz lahashir, which Dovr HaMelech also wanted to leave behind, kavanosoi rak bishvilo yisporach. His intent was purely for the sake of Hashem, kidei lahashlim kaviyochel tzelem demus tavnisoi, to be able to participate in completing the image of Hashem. Each and every single time a child is born in this world, it helps to complete the tzelem aleikim. It completes, it brings a shlemus to the image of Hashem. Rak bishvilo yisparak, they write, ki habonim digdusho heim givoyim ma'oid, because children that are born in holiness, they are very, very great. Ukemoisham razal, as the Gemara says, nivomis, kol mi she'enoi oisek bepiriya verivya, ki ilu mema'it es hatmus, that any Jew who chas v'shalom doesn't participate in having children, it's as if he's subtracting from the image of Hashem. Ki kishebo v'noilad ben ba'olam, because when there is born a child into the world, noilad ubo tzelem aleikim kaviyochel, the image of Hashem has been born and has come forth. V'nishlam tzelem demustav nisoi, and the image of Hashem achieves shlemus. This actually helps to complete the image of Hashem. Every single time that a new Jewish child is born into the world. V'zehu, this is why Dovid HaMelech said, Esbe'o, dahainu, hasviya shel bonim, b'chinas yisbe'u bonim, that sviya of children, what am I looking to get out of it? Rak b'hokitz t'munosecho. Esbe'o, my satisfaction for my children is not just from producing children, but it's b'hokitz t'munosecho. The only thing that I'm looking to get out of bringing children into this world is she'ikar sviyosoi shel bonim hu rak ma shehu mekitz u'ma'oyre bozet munosa yisporach. The only satisfaction that a Jew should be looking for in this world as to why he wants to bring a child into this world is b'chokitz temunosecha, for the fact that he's getting to awaken and arouse the temuna, the image of Hashem. He's actually arousing and heightening the image of Hashem. Bechinas tzelem demus tavnisoi. As we say in the bracha that we make at a sheva brachas, b'tzelem demus tavnisoi, that Hashem created us in His image, in the image of Hashem. So that this is the main intent that a Jew is supposed to have in this world, in all the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that he does, and in bringing children into the world. The main tachlis is that I'm doing this to get to see Hashem, to get to understand Hashem. Not to derive any reward, any personal credit for this, not to fill my belly in any way, but just to come to acknowledge and understand Hashem better, and to do whatever I can to benefit Hashem in any way that Hashem allows me to benefit Hashem.
Isn't that a personal benefit?
What?
He's not saying like he wants to, a person wants to be able to see Hashem, so that's,
right?
That's also a personal thing.
The answer is, in a way, yes. In a way, you could look at it that that's also a personal satisfaction, but you'll note that it makes it, the concept of filling your belly means something that I want to take to myself. This concept of looking at Hashem and getting to understand Hashem, it's not a concept of swallowing something, of taking something inside myself. I'm willing to stand at a distance like, and to come to get to understand or see as much as I can. It's not as if I'm looking for anything personal to gobble up, to swallow up anything. In other words, the concept that most people have of Gan Eden is that's where I'm going to get all my millions of bucks. In other words, a concept of I'm going to get something. Whereas this is a concept of where you know that Hashem as a king is looking for recognition. This concept, recognition. Ein melech b'loy am. A king is not a king without a nation. So his kingdom is measured by the recognition. So that when I'm looking to come to recognize Hashem, even that, I'm not doing it for myself, I'm doing it for the kavod of Hashem. Not doing it because I want, I'm doing it because I know that this is what Hashem wants. Hashem wants to be recognized. Hashem wants to be world-renowned. This concept. Voy Hashem l'melech al kol horetz. This is what Hashem is looking for. V'olam Hashem ratzon shalach. Voy Hashem l'melech al kol horetz. This is the ratzon of Hashem to be acknowledged and understood and respected by everybody in the world. We'll hold it over here for now. We'll continue next week in Hashem. Rabbi Nassau is going to explain, and this is the introduction, now he's going to explain how this applies to death. What are the different ways that a person dies in this world? What does it mean? That's going to be the next piece. Yeah.
It's the same question about this. Saying a person doing this to get an aid in Anahava, but isn't like Anahava a concept about getting closer to Hashem, getting to see Hashem closer?
Yes.
Like if his intent is sort of that way, that is, he should get along with that, he should get closer to Hashem, is it the same bad case?
The answer is, it boils down to one question. Who is it for me or for Hashem? My getting closer to Hashem, is it because I want something? Like I want $1 million, I want ice cream, I want to get close to Hashem? Or is my getting close to Hashem because I know that this is what Hashem wants? Hashem has declared that he wants us to come close to him, and all I want is to fulfill the Ratzon of Hashem. That's my motive. No, it's a clearer definition of exactly. You're doing Asei Laman Kevoidecha, Asei Laman Shemecha, we say to Hashem. Don't do it for me. Avinu Akinu Chanein Vanenu Kiein Boromasim, Asei Manu Tztoko Vachesed. We're asking Hashem to do for himself, not for us. Exactly. And this is a concept of loyal manas l'kabel pras. We mentioned this before, that there's a mission in Parakeos that says a person should serve Hashem not without wanting a reward. This is the remez in the pasuk. There's a pasuk in Eov, I believe, or in one of the other Nevi'im, where it says, Adam le'omol yulod. Man was created to work. The word le'omol is the Rosh Hashanah, loy al manas l'kabel. Not to receive. You understand, Ferretz? It's not to receive, it's to give. I don't want to get, I want to give. I want to give Hashem satisfaction. That's my main motive in this world. To give Hashem what he wants. If what Hashem wants is for me to fulfill his wish, then that's what I want to give to Hashem. That's the attitude. Baruch Hashem. Hashem's satisfaction. That's my main motive in this world. To give Hashem what he wants. If what Hashem wants is for me to fulfill his wish, then that's what I want to give to Hashem. That's the attitude. Baruch Hashem.